Thank you.
Tell Joe when you want to start.
Right, tell Joe when I want to start. When I nod my head. Okay, this is great. It's going. Set apart for his glory, session three. Living as a set apart one. So that's part of our series. It's the set apart series based upon Ephesians. Andy reminded us about the whole overview of the book of Ephesians. Oh, good. There we go. So Andy reminded us about the overview, up and down, flying around, doing the loop-a-loop and hitting the ground. Yes. There we go. Living as a set-apart one. Oh, I forgot the transitions. Andy's final thoughts. Find out pleases God. Remember, Andy did the overflow, so this is a recap. And also shows that I was listening online. There we go. Find out what pleases the Lord is the overarching theme. I guess also for me, I guess every week really, four reasons to please God and to live set apart lives. Gratitude. Gratitude for what God has done, for his love and kindness. Glory. The glory goes to God himself, for we are set apart for his glory. And then we can gaze upon his majestic beauty. O Lord, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, Psalm 8. We can gaze. So gratitude, glory, gaze. And then Andy ruined it by saying a finely tuned racing car has great power. Where's the G in that? So I've got gain momentum. That's the G. Gratitude, glory, gaze, and gain momentum. There's a power in this. The whole idea of being set apart for the Lord is to really gain the power of God in our lives. And I guess that's a little bit more of what I've got to look forward to. But you can't have power in your life if you're not at peace with yourself, with your God, and with your community of faith. That's a nice, peacey way of saying your church. And John's session two was about boiling it down to our prime objective. This is chili, but not just any chili. This is Glenda's chili, which has apparently an awful lot of words in as well as kidney beans. So if you remember John, he boiled it down to maintaining and attaining unity in love by ministering to one another, using the gifts of Christ, and speaking together the truth about Christ as we are being equipped by Christ and are given as shepherds and leaders together. For when we come together, we keep each other on track. Do you remember the proverb, iron sharpens iron? The idea is that when we come to church, we're not coming here just to be an audience. We're coming here to sharpen one another's faith and perspectives. Boiling it down. If you remember the first half, chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians was truth. And then chapters 4 to 6 are how to put those truths into action, if you like, and be set apart. So we've already had John do his the ultimate unity is the prime objective. This is me living as set apart ones, holy ones. Next week we've got Sunny talking about putting off old self, putting on new self. Looking forward to that, Sunny. There's a bit of that in mind, but I've left it to you. And then we've got living as children of light, in the light of all this truth. Let's make sure we are always living. And then, of course, Gillian, she's not here, so I can say she's getting drunk again, but on the spirit. And then we have Judith doing Christian marriage, all part of living as children of light, of being set apart for God's glory, of actually having his power flowing in and through our lives, of actually enjoying something of that blank checkbook, which Andy spoke of early, because it's a blank checkbook from Jesus' account, and there is an accounting. We have to do it for God's work. And then, of course, we know that our creation is more than what we see. There's a massive unseen realm, and goodness knows how long that's been here. We know in the beginning God created, but then we know there was a large gap. And then we have him recreating from the chaos that remained. And then in the end you have the Garden of Eden and Adam. Well, actually, had Adam before the Garden of Eden, if you actually know the story, but we won't go there. Putting on the armour of God, defending ourselves from those that would seek to ruin us. So we come to our Bible reading today, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. This is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, but actually to the church in general, for it's more than just Ephesus. That was the, if you like, the spiritual capital of that whole surrounding at that time. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord, says Paul, that we must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. For they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you've learned from Christ. You learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. There's a massive amount in those few verses, and I thought, oh Lord, what do you want, where am I going on this? And he said, well, just read it, and just anything that pops up, then just comment on it. I thought, well, that's a useful way. That's a useful technique. I've done that before. I guess you've taken it as well. Lord, you've got this massive amount of text. What do you want me to take from it? So here's, if you like, some of the things I took from it. No longer walk as the Gentiles do. Now, Paul was saying Gentiles were those who weren't in the covenant, weren't in, if you like, the people of God. Like we all were once. So it's no longer walk as they do. It's no longer walk as we did before. We are set apart because we are no longer doing what we did before. And that came hold of me as a special thought. Have I changed what I was doing before? And then it occurred to me, alienated from the life of God due to their hardness of heart. Sometimes when we read these passages, we think, oh, fancy that, alienated from the life of God. That's cruel, that's a little bit. No, it's due to the hardness of their hearts. Why were we once alienated from God? Well, then it was due to the hardness of our hearts. God is just, yes, he's loving, but he is just. And if we harden our heart to him, then you can't expect him to change the world and the way it all goes round for us. So it's due to their hardness of heart. They were ignorant and alienated from the life that God had created them to live because of their hardness of hearts. And so were we once because of the hardness of our hearts. I saw the word callous as well. I thought, callous. And then I thought, oh yes, if you keep rubbing things, you get calloused, don't you? You're, yeah, if you've got thick skin on your foot because once you had a verruca, you've got a carous and it's always bothering you, at least until the chiropractor cuts the bit off, and then it's fine for the next 6 weeks. It keeps rubbing. Are there areas in my life, are there areas in our lives where we know something's wrong, but we keep rubbing up against God's best for us? Because if that happens, our hearts get hardened in that area of our lives. It's just a natural process. If you keep rubbing against something, the skin gets thicker. If you keep your new soft heart, which God has given us, he's created in us a new heart. If we keep doing something by habit, accident, or design, where we say to ourselves, do you know what? I won't submit that area of my life. I like being a Christian, but I also like doing this, that, or the other. Then it becomes, our hearts get hardened in that area. And it becomes, through practice, we become impure in that area. And it's hard for us to ask the Lord to take us as a whole person if we're withholding certain areas. But that is not the way. That is not the way you learned Christ. What is that? Why did that speak to me? Well, it reminded me that we have learned Christ. We're not learning new rules, new regulations. We're not learning anything like that. New morals. Yes, they're all in the Bible, and yes, they're all applicable for us to learn from. But we are Christians, Christ ones, for a reason. We are set apart to be like Christ, to do the things that please Jesus, so that he can come into our hearts. And yes, we can go into his heart, for, you know, it's a two-way relationship, isn't it? We've learned Christ, not about Christ, although we have learned about Christ. We have learned Christ. We are not learning new rules. We are learning Christ. You'll find that that comes up several times because it's so different to what people regard as religion. There's Sonny's bit, put off the old self, put on the new. I'm not looking at it more practically. That's another man's job. But I'm just saying it's our responsibility. Jesus doesn't do it for us. The Spirit may inspire us. The Spirit may strengthen us. But it is for us to do. We have to put off the old, put on the new. And the new won't fit very well initially. You have to wear it in like a good pair of shoes, apart from these are Skechers. First time of wearing. Yeah. I'm old enough now to wear Skechers. Next I'll be buying stuff from Marks and Spencer. No. Put off. Yeah, I know, it's bad, isn't it? Buying your jeans from Marks and Spencer's. I'm not that old yet. To put off your old... Where are we going on this, eh? I've just... To put off the old self, put on the new self. It's our responsibility. You can't ask Jesus to do that for you. You can ask his help, but you can't do that for you. And then I thought of when Jesus was talking about, if you like, the new thing God was doing through him. The context here was that disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus' disciples and says, hey, how come you guys aren't fasting like all the other religious guys are doing? And Jesus said, do you know what? It's not about rules. It's not about traditions. They may fast, but they can't fast at the moment because I'm with them. Jesus said to them, you need new wine in new wine skins. So I looked it up, and no one puts new wine what God is doing in us now and through us into old wineskins. The old religious attitudes, the old religious frameworks. In fact, the old religious, dare I say it, churchianity, which, in my view, largely took over the church way back when the Roman Empire took over the church. I know a lot of the churches say, well, actually, the church took over the Roman Empire. I actually think it was the other way round. Because that's when the church changed from being a fellowship of believers, a load of people coming together to sharpen one another's skills, to sharpen one another's faith, to just introduce Jesus. Suddenly they became a ruling elite. And that's not what Jesus' disciples were. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. I don't know about you, but one thing that, when I became a Christian, suddenly I wasn't a do-gooder anymore. I was bubbly, full of life. And yes, life happens, doesn't it? And it can knock some of the bubbles out. But the Spirit comes to put the bubbles back in. The new wine will burst those old frameworks of religion. It will burst them, says Jesus. And it will be, and all the new wine will be spilled and go off and sink into the ground. And the skins will also be destroyed. I look around our country at the moment, to our churches. I do quite a lot in village churches. And I realise that actually the framework of church, as we know it, is now crumbling and breaking up. Oh dear, how sad, never mind. Because actually I also look around and I see new faith coming. I really do believe there's a new season. I have met it here. We talked about a change in the atmosphere of places around here. I believe God is doing something new because we are closer than we've ever been before. And you can't disagree with that, with the Lord Jesus returning. The stakes are raising in our Western societies, which is, of course, the society and the culture in which Israel sits, because actually that's the apple of God's eye in so many ways. I believe not only the church in this day and age, one day, who knows, we'll all disappear and be raptured, if that's what that means. But God is doing a new thing. The old is starting to break down in our society. New wine must be put into new, fresh wineskins. We are not learning rules. We are not learning morals. We are learning Christ. And that came again and again to me from being set apart for Christ. We are learning Christ. We are learning to be renewed by the Spirit of your minds. That's the Holy Spirit in our minds. We're not, if you like, thinking our way into eternal life. We're being brought into eternal life. We're not thinking our way into transformation. The Spirit is transforming the way we think. And then I thought of something else. Matthew 16, Jesus said to his disciples, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Again, the Pharisees and Sadducees, wow, they were the most religious of the lot. There were different types of religious. The Pharisees were really much on the word. I would say the evangelicals of the day, of which I would place myself amongst. And of course, Paul, towards the end of his life, said, I am a Pharisee. He didn't say I was. I still am evangelical. I still believe the Bible is the word of God. But we mustn't be religious about it. The Sadducees, they were into high temple. They were into all the bells and the whistles and the smells. It's high church. Jesus was warning his disciples to beware of the influence of judgmentalism or tradition. Because we're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And we're to put on the new self. created after the likeness of God. This is something we do by faith. When the disciples thought Jesus was talking about their lack of bread, do you remember he warned them, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees? And the disciples thought, oh, is that because we've forgotten bread? And Jesus said, what the heck? I've just fed 5,000 with how many loaves? I've just fed 4,000 with him. Who's talking about bread? It's faith. We are not learning rules. We are learning Christ. And we are set apart to live in union with Christ. When we become a Christian, Christ is what we are destined to become. We're going destined to become little Christ Jesuses, if you like. If you view Jesus as the man born in the first century, he had his own distinctive. But, you know, yes, Jesus is in heaven. He's no longer a first century man. He's a risen Lord and Saviour. But he's the anointed one, the Christ of God. And we're due to live in union with his anointing. He's in heaven. We're down here. If you like, he's the head. We're the body. We are created to live in union with Jesus. Christ in us and us in Christ. That's why Jesus said, whatever you wish, I'll do. As long as it's consistent with my character and purposes. You can't manipulate Jesus. People tried to do that when he was on the earth. Didn't work. You know, you fed the 5,000. You fed the 4,000. There's 3,000 of us here. How about feeding us? No. You've seen what I've done before. We're moving on. Christ in us. And us in Christ, taking our authority and taking our authority over the evil spirits that may be in our localities or even influencing our hearts and minds. So I thought I'd end with a prayer of St. Patrick, not just because I've got a colleague who's Irish, but because this just came up and hit me. St. Patrick, when he was evangelizing, when he was living out his anointed life, his set apart life, he said this is one of his famous prayers. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I lie down, and Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me. And Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Just like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Surely, if you've seen each one of us, then that person has seen Christ. That's our goal. That was St. Patrick's prayer. Christ in every ear that hears me. And that is what came out from those verses to me about how we live as separate ones, apart from the world, but in Christ. Amen.